I am so glad he was prevented thus far, because he wrote this letter since he couldn't get there. His heart to get to Rome and minister there and impart some truth and be encouraged, that was a good desire, but he'd been prevented thus far. Praise God, he had to write Romans, the constitution of Christianity, sometimes called the Magna Carta, you know, the chart, the great chart of our liberty, of our freedom. You get established in Romans, I was told when I was 19, and you're well established.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Rome at Last. I invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you've just grabbing that pew Bible, the one that's in the rack there, you can turn to page 1182. People ask me when I'm going to finish Acts and where will we go. And right now I'm thinking about 1 Thessalonians, but only because this morning, if you're in the Abide, if you're one of many of us who are just each day spending some time in God's Word by hand copying it out, just pick up where you left off and meditate over a few verses. Well, this morning, I'm behind, actually. I looked on the schedule, and you're probably in 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm in 3, and this morning I picked it up at verse 4, and Paul writes, "Indeed, we were with you. When we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we're going to suffer affliction. And so, it came to pass." And so, it came to pass. When the apostles spoke God's word will not fail. We kept telling you in advance, and so now it has come to pass. And that was what I picked up this morning as I was thinking about where we left Paul and Luke and Aristarchus. On a very victorious note, it happened exactly like God had said it would. Jesus said in John 13, and you see this throughout the Bible. There are many reasons why God tells us things and tells us in advance. But Paul said, we kept telling you, we're going to suffer affliction. And so it has happened because the Thessalonians were worried. What's gone wrong? What's happened? And maybe you're in a storm or some afflictions hitting you and you're thinking, what happened? What's going wrong? He said, we told you, we kept telling you in advance, and now it has come to pass. Jesus said on the night that he took that basin of water and washed their feet, right after he'd finished washing their feet, he said in chapter 13 of John, verse 19, from now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it occurs, you may know that I am. I love that I serve a God who can tell me things in advance. We left off on a very victorious note. They washed ashore in a shipwreck, but it turned out exactly as Paul had been told by the angel from the God to whom I belong. You know, one day, every knee is going to bow. Every knee in Portland. Every tongue will confess. False ones will confess. I love to quote, and I never really think of it this way, but I was mulling it over this morning. I love to quote a false prophet, Balaam, because he was forced to to say God's word. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has God said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will it not occur? He didn't like to say that. He was trying to curse Israel. And they said, come on, we paid you money. And false ones are often in it for money. And he was. But he said, hey, God is not a man that he should lie. I have to say what he was forced to confess. A great truth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not accomplish it? Oh, you can go to the bank on it. He will. And we left off thinking of the great storm, you know, and we looked at the 107th Psalm where God raises the storm up and then he stills the storm and he says, hush, be still. And thus he brings us. And he brought them, Psalm 107, verse 30, to their desired haven. Their desired haven. When you're in a storm, remember who you belong to. Remember what he has said. And hang on. Cling to the anchor of your soul. I want you to turn there to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Tremendous statement that we merely quoted last time, and I want to just enjoy it with you. This hope, chapter 6, verse 19, Hebrews 6, 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He had no beginning of days nor end of days. He's the great eternal high priest. And he has entered in to the heavens, the Holy of Holies. He's there inside the veil. That's where my Savior is. And we saw that he used nautical terms here as he explains that Jesus is the very anchor of our souls. There's a man in heaven representing me. How do I know all my sins are forgiven? The one who bore my sins in his body on the cross is seated at the right hand of God. He's my anchor. He's our forerunner. They used to take the anchor in a little boat because they didn't have dredges and they were dependent on the tides. And so they'd take the anchor on in and set the anchor and wait for high tide to get the boat in, the big ship in closer. Well, I'll tell you, we've got an anchor within the veil. And one day soon, he's going to whisk us into his presence. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy. And I'll tell you, our ultimate desired haven, Paul's ultimate desired haven, was not Malta, some little island out in the Mediterranean. Although I bet it looked good, don't you? After 2 weeks, I'll bet it looked really good to wash ashore, just like God had said, you're going to run aground on a certain island. And his desired haven is not Rome, although we're going to look at it this morning. He gets to Rome, of all places. He had wanted to get to Rome. But his real desired haven, he wrote from Rome, by the way, in a dungeon, the Mamertine dungeon, as he wrote Timothy, chapter 4, verse 18 of his last letter. And he said, you know, a lot of people have deserted me. And some, at my first defense, nobody supported me. But the Lord stood with me. And he will bring me safely through to his heavenly kingdom. Christian, you have maybe been betrayed. Maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe you've been let down. Live long enough and you will be. But I'll tell you what, there is one who will never, ever forsake you. And I want to just ask two questions, and I want to ask them twice before we launch into Acts 28. Two very important questions. The Lord will safely through to his heavenly kingdom. You and I can claim that just as much as the Apostle Paul. That is true. He's going to get us safely home. He's going to finish what he started in our lives. Let me ask you two questions. Where are you? And you say, well, I'm in Portland, or I'm in a storm, or I'm in a pretty good season right now, whatever. Where are you? And then the second question, where is he? He's with you. He will never desert you or forsake you. He's got me enclosed behind and before, the 139th Psalm says. Where can I go from your presence? You're lonely. He's there with you. Where are you? Where is he? Now let me ask those two questions again. And then we'll get to Acts 28. Where is he? He has entered within the veil. He's seated at the right hand of the throne on high, four times in Hebrews. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat. Where is he? Above every name that's ever going to be named. Where are you? Did you know that the Bible teaches, believer, Christ follower, weak one, just came to Christ recently, like we're going to have some bad, you know. As soon as you put your faith in Christ, you know where you are? You are seated with him, Ephesians 2. Seated with him in the heavenlies. That's how secure we are. So just kind of enjoy that and turn to Acts 28. You ought to be able to find it by now. We've been there several weeks in the book of Acts. And let me just say, in these first 16 verses, Rome, at last. He gets to Rome. Boy, Paul wanted to get to Rome. He longed to get to Rome. Just, if you're in Acts 28, you can just turn the page to Romans 1. 3 years earlier, he wrote this. Just listen to this, because I don't think I would ever write this. And I doubt I should ever say this, except as I'm quoting the apostle. Verse 9, God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. He's writing to the believers at Rome. God is my witness how I never quit praying for you guys. I don't know if I dare say that. I pray for you. I really do. And I know you pray for me. But I doubt I would say, God is my witness as to how unceasingly I pray. I'm just not gutsy enough to say that. Because now I know Paul was a man with feet of clay just like me and you. But just the same, I love his heart for the Roman believers, the church at Rome. God is my witness as to how unceasingly I pray for you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I've planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far. I am so glad he was prevented thus far, because he wrote this letter since he couldn't get there. His heart to get to Rome and minister there and impart some truth and be encouraged, that was a good desire, but he'd been prevented thus far. Praise God. He had to write Romans, the constitution of Christianity, sometimes called the Magna Carta, you know, the chart, the great chart of our liberty, of our freedom. You get established in Romans, I was told when I was 19, and you're well established. You get established in Romans and you'll be heresy proof. And I was just young enough and dumb enough to believe it. And the man who was telling me was not young and dumb. He challenged me to give myself to Romans. And I'm so glad those 20 pages, maybe the most profound 20 pages ever written, were written and are available today. I got an email this week. It said, how many African pastors have, they didn't put it this way, but they said have completed the requirements for an MP3. In other words, how many African pastors have read Romans 20 times and copied it out and seen their life transformed? God's word does that. Well, Dave had just stood up Wednesday down at the art museum and said, we just burned our 25,000th MP3. And so I emailed back. I said, well, we just burned our 25,000th. I would guess in Africa, somewhere between 17 and 22,000. And, you know, I got some rejoicing back in the email. But I'm telling you, I am grateful that the book of Romans is here because Paul couldn't get to Rome. And 2 years earlier, look at, are you still in Acts or where do I have you anyway? I'll just read it. Acts 23, 2 years, a little 2 years and some change earlier. Remember when Paul was kind of discouraged? On the night immediately following, this is back in Jerusalem, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for as you solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. He's going to get to Rome. He knows it. And now let's just let this story unfold because it's written for our instruction. I'll let it overlap just this much in case you weren't here, you're just joining us. We're just moving through this book of Acts. Start at chapter 27, verse 41 with me. Striking a reef where two seas met, they were out in the middle of a hurricane, and they knew they were getting close to some place they didn't know where. Striking a reef where the two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, that none of them should swim away and escape. That would include Paul. Just kill him. Slaughter him. But the centurion, Julius, wanted to bring Paul safely through. He kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And thus it happened that they were all brought safely to land. That was a desired haven, let me tell you. Whether you were swimming or hanging on to some piece of plank and getting on in, everybody, all 276 made it in. And when they'd been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. They realized we're on Malta. Now, that was a well-known island, but man, if you look at the map, they'd been blown 600 miles toward their destination, by the way, though they had no idea where they were. And they hit on this little island about 17 miles wide, 10 miles north to south, and it's about 50, 60 miles south of Sicily. And it had good harbors. It was a good place to winter. Ships in the right harbor. Now, they just crashed into a bay that's now called St. Paul's Bay. But they're at Malta. By the way, I said last week, these are real places. God brought truth. God brought his son into this world. And you can go walk where Jesus walked, you know. And you can go to Malta if you like. And Roosevelt met Churchill there in World War II. And that this little island, they tell me, took some of the heaviest airstrikes, 2,000 airstrikes during the battles of World War II, such that when it was a British protectorate, and when we got it back and protecting, you know, got it, King George honored in 1943, he honored every citizen on the island, gave them a medal for bravery. what they went through. But they're at Malta. And the natives, verse 2, showed us an extraordinary kindness. For because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. If your Bible, I think the old King James says the barbarians. I would say, you know, the islanders. Barbarian sounds barbarous. But actually, when you see, if you ever see barbarian, because that's the Greek word behind this here, it wasn't used the way we use it. It was just a non-Greek speaker. So whether Jews or Greeks, barbarians or, you know, you hear that every now and then. It's just those who didn't speak Greek. And it's translated natives, or you could say islanders, those who lived there. They treated them with extraordinary kindness. And think of it, there's 276. It's winter. It's cold. It's blowing. They're soaked in salt water, and the rain is beating on them. And the natives build, and I sometimes picture a little bonfire, but I realize they got 276. This was some bonfire they built to warm and dry out a bit. And Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. He was right in there involved. Paul was not clergy. He was not a man of the cloth. He was the kind of guy that made tents, traveled, did this, did that. Jesus was a carpenter. You know, I think we do ourselves a disfavor, and particularly guys like me that pulpits, if we think we should not, I shouldn't do that. Listen, I love a leader who gets involved, you know, and Paul is gathering sticks like everybody else. And verse 3, he'd gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. A viper came out. It's winter, it's dark. This snake is probably kind of hibernating, cold, stiff, you know, but he gets roused by getting gathered up as a bunch of sticks and the heat, and he strikes. The viper came out because of the heat and fastened on Paul's hand. And when the natives saw this creature hanging from his hand, they began to say to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he's been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." You know, I would say those first century religious superstitions, except that
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Rome at Last, a message from our study of the book of Acts. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
And let me ask you those two questions again, because I think it's a healthy way to think about our lives today. Where are you? Well, Scott, I'm in Beaverton. I'm in church. I know. But where are you? What are you going through? Are you in a storm? Have you just come through a storm? Where are you? Where is He? I will never leave you or forsake you. Thus, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is there with you. Oh, enjoy that.
Join us again next time as we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott continues the message, Rome at Last. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.